Please go ahead. You can start anytime.
Okay. Thank you, Lucy. Today I will be talking about cancer therapy by plasmonic nanoparticles. And I chose this topic since learning about new ways to treat diseases are always interesting, and I also wanted to learn more about plasmonic nanoparticles. So, cancer is a disease where cells start to divide without control, and tumor is a tissue formed by these abnormally dividing cells. As you can see in the picture from the top, the tumor tissue is different compared to normal tissue. And thus, tumors have specific properties which can be taken advantage of when tumors are trying to be treated. And in these presentations, I will introduce two cancer treatment methods that involves using particles that can interact with light. The first of these is a photothermal therapy that introduces distraction to tumor tissue by heating. And the other method is photodynamic therapy, where destruction is introduced by creation of free radicals in tumor tissue. Let's first concentrate on the tumor destruction by heat. One of the special properties of tumor tissue is the reduced ability to tolerate heat. And this is because of the poor blood supply in tumor tissue. Hyperthermia is a term for heating a tissue to 41 to 47 degrees for a time period of tens of minutes. And it's a commonly used condition to introduce to tumor tissue in order to create a destruction. Because in these conditions, the cells are damaged by protein denaturation and loosening of cell membranes. Downside for treating tumors with heat is that the heat is conducted also in the adjacent healthy tissue, which leads to cell damage also where we don't want to have it. The amount of the damage of the surrounding tissue depends on the way the heat is produced in the tumor tissue. And tumors have been treated with heat for actually a very long time. And the first evidence for treating cancer with heat have been found from ancient times when breast cancer was treated with glowing tip of fire tree. And this was 1700 BC. Photothermal therapy means introducing photothermal damage to the tumor tissue using agents that absorbs light. And these agents are located in cancer cells or in tumor tissue and then exposed to light. And the agents absorb light, which then leads to electron transition to upper states, and eventually this excited state decays by non-radioactive decay channels, and this results in increased kinetic energy. And this additional kinetic energy leads to the temperature of the environment of the particle to increase. So here in the picture is a cold nanocage that enters a tumor cell. There is a functionalized groups in the surface of the nanocage in order to help it to be delivered to the tumor cells and the tumor tissue. And also the functionalized group can help with the penetration into the cell. And when the particle is in the cell, it is exposed to light that particle absorbs. And it converts the energy of the absorbed light into the heat. And the exposing for light is done by laser. And there are multiple different compounds that you can use for an agent in photothermal therapy. Good atoms have efficient light to heat conversion. When this conversion is efficient, one has to use less energy for the laser that introduces less damage on the surrounding tissue. Also, the absorption cross-section has to be strong for these agents, and the absorption cross-section is a value that describes the probability for absorption to happen. Also, good agents have to be biocompatible and such that the particle can be somehow delivered specifically to tumor tissue. And also, the wavelength of the light that the particle absorbs has to be such that it can reach the agents, because the penetration depth of the light depends on the wavelength of the light. And this is described here in the picture. There is a different penetration depths shown for light with different wavelengths. So as you see, generally the longer the wavelength is, the deeper the wave penetrates. And this is because the tissue absorbs and scatters less light at the longer wavelengths. But when wavelength is further increased over the length of 950 nanometers, water and lipid absorption starts to affect the penetration depth, and thus the deepest penetration is observed for wavelengths from 650 nanometers to 950 nanometers. So basically, if one has a tumor inside the body, one can use agent that absorbs light in the UV region, because as you see, the UV light doesn't penetrate very deep, and then the light does not reach the agent, and then the reaction doesn't happen. So, plasmonic nanoparticles are particles whose electron density oscillation can couple with electromagnetic radiation. And the plasmonic nanoparticles can absorb this electromagnetic radiation. And the wavelength of the electromagnetic radiation these particles can absorb is generally much larger than the nanoparticle itself. And there are many different nanoparticles that have been studied from the photofilmer therapy perspective. And for example, gold nanorods, gold nanospheres, gold nanoshells, gold nanocakes, and carbon nanotubes have been studied. Noble metal particles specifically have been shown to be good agents for this photothermal therapy. And actually, there is a specific term for when you perform photothermal therapy using these plasmonic nanoparticles, and it's plasmonic photothermal therapy. Yes. And now I go through properties of these plasmonic nanoparticles that makes them good against for photothermal therapy. So, plasmonic nanoparticles, the absorption cross-section is 4 to 5 orders of magnitude larger than in conventional agents. And the absorption is this strong because of the surface plasmon resonance phenomenon. And nanoparticles can achieve lattice temperature of a few tens of kelvins when exposed to light by laser that excitation power are just as small as 100 nanojoules. Gold and silver have the strongest band intensities, and in fact, gold is the most used particle in research of this plasmonic nanoparticle using in biomedical applications, since it is also inert material and biologically compatible. The wavelength of absorbed light depends on the surface plasma resonance frequency. And the surface plasma resonance wavelength and band intensity depends on the particle properties, such as size, shape, structure, and material type. And by tuning the particle shape and size, one can tune the absorption wavelength of the particles. So many plasmonic nanoparticles have good absorption in visible and near infrared regions. So here in this picture, you can see that when the particle size is changed, a shift can be detected in the wavelengths of light that the particle interacts with. And one has to take into account that because surface plasma resonance wavelength depends on the particle size, the accumulation of nanoparticles leads to surface plasmons to behave differently and the resonance frequency to change. So if you have multiple particles together, the absorbed light has a different wavelength. There are many strategies by which the particles can be targeted to tumor tissue. One example is to use the knowledge that in tumors, the blood vessels are more leaky than in normal tissue. So macromolecules in the bloodstreams tend to accumulate there. And one other popular method is antibody-based targeting, where antibody that targets to a tumor marker is functionalized to a particle. And nanoparticles can usually be easily functionalized. So there is, for in the picture, here is an example of this gold nano cage that is functionalized in order to help the targeted delivery and the penetration into the tumor tissue. Metal nanostructures are shown to have also high photostability, which means that the particle does not experience a photochemical degradation when exposed to light. And this is very important property for agents. Also the agents have to be biocompatible, and the toxicity of the nanoparticles need to be, of course, carefully explored before using them in a human body. And typical toxic properties of nanoparticles are, for example, that the particles are not all the time soluble in water, and the particles tend to aggregate and form bigger complexes. Many times these nanoparticles have to be functionalized in order to make them more biocompatible. Next, we will look a bit about the tumor destruction method that used free radical introducing. So photodynamic therapy creates destruction to tumor tissue by using chemical photosensitizers. And these photosensitizers are molecules that are able to induce chemical change in another molecule in a photochemical process. And these photosensitizers create usually singlet oxygen or some other free radicals to through reactions, and these radicals are toxic for tissue. The reactions are initiated when photosensitizers are exposed to light with a specific wavelength that can be generally in near infrared or visible regions. And these photosensitizers generally react with tissue oxygen. And the photodynamic therapy was reported to be first used in 1903 to treat breast cancer. So it's a kind of old method too. And the downside of photodynamic therapy is that photosensitizing particles tend to stay in the body for long times, which leads to the patients to stay sensitive to light. And here is a picture that shows the basic principle of the photodynamic therapy. Here we have a photosensitizer inside a tumor cell, and the particle is then exposed to light. And the light initiates a reaction which produced free radicals in the cell, which then leads eventually to cell death. Nanoparticles can be used in photodynamic therapy to improve the efficiency. And nanoparticles can be found from different roles. Nanoparticles can act as photosensitizers. For example, flaring here in the table can be used as the photosensitizers. And nanoparticles can also act as, for example, delivery method. And here in the table, you see a few human nanoparticles and the role in this reaction. And there are many same requirements for photodynamic therapy agents that for the photothermal therapy agents. So these agents have to be, of course, biocompatible. It's good that they can be functionalized, and the wavelength of the light absorbed needs to be such that the light can penetrate deep enough to reach the agents. And that was pretty much all I had to say. Here is the list of articles I used when I did this presentation. And if you are interested more about the topic, I recommend reading the first article in the list. It gave a nice overview of the topic. But yes, thank you for listening, and now we can move to questions part.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, any questions?
Yes. So you said that the author used gold and the agents to target on the tumor, and will them be like, will they get out of the body, or they just be in the cell?
That's a good question. I think eventually they are somehow removed from the cells, but I think it takes a long time. So that was one downside for these methods, that the particles sometimes stays for a long time in body.
But it might cause a problem of toxin, cause high concentration of gold might, cause some damage.
Yes.
That's just possible.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yes. So, is this kind of experiments like in mouth or human body, like in vivo experiments?
I believe that yes, there is. I'm not sure about gold particles in specific, but I read that there is some use for these nanoparticles already. But I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. Yeah, that's my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Yeah, I can also. You maybe get it?
Yes, I would like to ask.
Do you hear?
I come there. So for the free radical introduction, so using a photosynthesizer to cause singlet oxygen to destroy the tumor cell. So the energy of creating the singlet oxygen is rather high from the triplet to the singlet state. Yet you want to have at the same time near infrared or infrared chromophores to act as synthesizers. So can you say a little bit or speculate a little bit about the mechanism in which you can upconvert this low energy photon to a higher energy photon required to cause this singlet triplet to singlet transition? Have you read about that?
I didn't go very in details about how actually the energy of the light is converted to energy that can make these reactions to happen. So I think I won't be able to answer this question.
Okay. I have another question in from the same topic. So talk about formation of this exactly this radical we just discussed, but it wasn't clear. Maybe you mentioned it, but the voice through connection you have is not the best.
Okay.
So maybe, can you comment again? So what is the role of the plasmonics in this? The second topic, or does it play any role?
I think there can be plasmonic nanoparticles using that can be used as the photosensitizers to like convert to light to energy to this reaction. That is the role, I think.
Okay, yeah. So it converts the light energy to something else. And okay, plasmonic nanoparticle doesn't produce any radicals by itself. So it has to be coupled with something else for it release the energy to,
Yes, so here is the light like initiates this chain of reactions. So the photosensitizer is not the only one that acts in the cell to produce this.
Yes, okay, thank you. Maybe I quickly ask another one, which was kind of bothering me. You, in the first one, you talked that these plasmonic nanoparticles are 5 to 10 times or something like that more efficient to convert light to the heat than a conventional agents, you used the word agents. What are these conventional agents? What else are people using there?
There was something else that plasmonic nanoparticles, but I don't remember what it was named, but yeah, I think these methods have been used for a long time before. I think the plasmonic nanoparticles get into this topic, so something else.
I just asked because at least nothing came to my mind immediately what could be used there. But obviously there has been something. Okay, so I don't know the answer either. That was an honest question. Okay.
Yes, I have another question. It's still about the gold and agent. Is that how to test the number of agents that fix on B the nanoparticle and how to test its stability?
That is a good question. What do you mean by testing stability? Do you mean like testing stability of the nanoparticles or like, I didn't fully understand the question, sorry.
Okay, so in your presentation, there was like a picture that I saw at about 12 agents fix on the golden, this one.
This one?
Yes. So how does they count that there are such members fixed on that? And the how are they stable? How long can it last?
Okay. Very good questions. And I have to again say that I don't know the answer for this. But yeah, I think they are kind of stable because they have to maintain the structure at least until they get into the tumor cell. So they have to be that stable at least.
Okay.
Thanks. Maybe I can a little bit answer here. So basically, the common procedure here is that you test this kind of linking procedure. Like here, actually, I don't know what is this OPSS. That's something what is covering a particle. Then you link this polyethyl glycol, this PEG, to that. And then you can try, for example, first, you try with a polyethyl glycol which has a dye in it. Then you can immediately see that if you see fluorescence from a particle, the polyethyl glycol has been attached. Then you move to the next stage and you connect this, whatever SVA is, I don't know, and so on. So you test all these procedures, and then the final test is basically that you do the whole procedure and you see how much it generates this chemical reaction or how much you can count radicals. Usually you can count that in some direct way and done in a solution, not in a body. And then by that you can also test how long it takes and so on. So these are kind of a usual ways how this goes. Of course, there's an exceptions and as many exact recipes as there's a people to do it. But this is how you... And you don't know is there exactly 12, like in this picture. So you just count, for example, light and estimate from that how many dyes you might have. The answer might be something like from 50 to 100. Okay. Sorry to interrupt. Did you have another question or is somebody else wanting to ask? There's still time. Silence.
Okay, we need to move on.
Yeah. Okay, so
okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jana, again.
Thank you.